message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, President of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad that you've joined us again today, and we trust that our time together in the Word of God will prove a real blessing and help to you. It's our desire and purpose on this program to help you to understand and enjoy the Bible. That's why we look at the Bible, why we study the Bible, why we look at the verses, why we have the chart and the chalkboard and all the rest, why we spend the time and energy to be here with you every week. And we appreciate you being there. And invite you to help us reach others by maybe right now even calling a friend, telling them to tune in the program and watch and enjoy the study with you. We want to talk about and continue our studies on the day of Pentecost. We've been talking about Pentecost, and the reason we've spent so much time discussing the issue of Pentecost and the Pentecostal movement as it's found in the Bible, and again, when we talk about Pentecost and the message and the men and the movement involved in Pentecost, we're not talking about people who use the name Pentecost for their denomination or their church or their doctrine. We're talking about Pentecost in the Bible. And the reason that we're talking about that and spending so much time here is because of the tremendous significance about what's going on in God's program on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was sent down from the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven's glory. You're at a significant series of events with the coming of Christ, His ministry, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, the coming of the Holy Spirit here, tremendous prophecies being fulfilled. Things that God had been speaking by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began to be fulfilled here. And they look forward to that coming kingdom age over here where they would all ultimately be brought to fruition. So it's very important to understand what God the Holy Spirit was doing when He came on the day of Pentecost. Many people today are exhorting us as members of the church, the body of Christ, that we should go back to Pentecost, that the problems in the church today stem from the fact that we've gotten away from Pentecost, and the idea is that we need to go back to Pentecost. And yet, as we study the Word of God and as we rightly divide the Scripture, we've seen week after week after week that rather than going back to Pentecost, the great need of your Christian life and my Christian life, the great need of the church today is not to go back to Pentecost, but rather to go on to Paul, to go on to perfection as it's found in the Word of God, rightly divided, understanding that God's Word to us today is found in the ministry committed by the risen Lord from heaven's glory to us through the Apostle Paul. Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the Apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. And the Apostle Paul is the minister, Romans 15 says, of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And if you want to find and locate and understand and stand in the ministry that Jesus Christ has for you today in the dispensation of the grace of God, if you want to rejoice in what God is accomplishing today for Himself as He forms the church, the body of Christ, and as He demonstrates the manifold nature of His wisdom in so doing, then you'll have to find that information in the Word of God where God has put it, and that's in the epistles of Paul. As we come to maturity by grasping the issues of God's grace as it's found in Paul's epistles, then the characteristics that people desire to see, the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ will be in us, and the empowering and the working of God that God is doing will be an evidence in our life and in the life of the church. You see, you and I can't force God to go back and do something that He isn't doing today. We need to recognize what God is doing, stand in that. And as we stand in that, rejoice in it and come to appreciate what God's purpose and program is for us as well as what it was for Pentecost and for Israel. Now, one of the ways to understand what's going on back here and to be able to see clearly that what's going on back there is different is to go back there and read what was happening in Acts chapter number 2. Beginning at verse number 42, you see two parts of the Pentecostal program, two parts of the Pentecostal movement. Anyone who is going to claim that they follow Pentecost and are doing the things that God was doing on the day of Pentecost need to do, they need to not just preach the same message of baptismal salvation for the remission of sins and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. They need to not just preach the same message that Peter preached back here, but they need to practice the same program and be involved in the same movement that they were involved in. Acts chapter 2, verse 43 tells you about that. Fear came upon every soul. There are two parts to the Pentecostal movement. Number one, many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. There's tremendous miraculous demonstrations being accomplished. And number two, all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. These two things, the miraculous signs and wonders, and then the possession of all things in common, those two things illustrated the kingdom lifestyle of the believers that Christ had spoken so much about during His earthly ministry. Our Lord talked about it, proclaimed it, explained to them what that lifestyle in the kingdom would be. The Holy Spirit came and began to produce it in their lives. Miracles and signs for the demonstration of the truth and the validity of that coming kingdom being in the message that they preached, and the communal living, they were wonderful things and proper when they were in order and were a part of what God's doing today. But since God's program and purpose for the nation Israel has been set aside, and His purpose and program is no longer the offering of the kingdom to that chosen nation, but He set Israel aside and formed the church, the body of Christ, and doing something, He is forming this secret purpose that He had in Christ. When that took place, folks, those things back there were done away with, were held up, they were set aside. These things belonging to Israel, when Israel is set aside, through the fall of Israel, salvation goes to the Gentiles today, then Israel's program is set aside. And one of the really serious issues in failing to recognize this change from the prophetic program to the mystery program, from God's dealing through Israel to His dealings with the body of Christ in here, some of the really serious consequences of failing to recognize that change in the program is the attempted recovery of the program that's back there. Going back and trying to reclaim the baptismal salvation. Going back and trying to reclaim the signs and the wonders, the tongue speaking and the healing being the most prominent kind of things. Going back and trying to take the program from back there and putting it on us today. And I want us to go through some scriptures together today in our study that demonstrate very clearly the danger of doing some of these things, because many people suppose that miraculous demonstrations such as tongues, talking in tongues, or healing, that a miraculous demonstration of that nature are clear signs and clear proof that God is at work. And my friend, so-and-so must be a man of God or he couldn't perform such wonderful miracles. But how wrong that kind of an idea can be. We saw on the television just some time ago the magician David Copperfield. It was fascinating. I sat and watched the television show with my son, two of my boys. And at the conclusion of that program, David Copperfield literally an hour's worth of magic, fascinating things, people going through other people and all kind of things. At the end of it, he reached out and took someone out of the audience by the hand and literally flew off through the air with them. Now, like Superman. Now, he's not Superman. He can't fly. I've seen him on Johnny Carson in the evening, and have Carson levitate up off a table and take a hula hoop and put around him, where there's no wires and all. You look at that and you say, well, how does he do that? It's all magic. And he kept saying over and over, this is all magic. It's not supernatural, but it looked miraculous. This is the same man that back with the anniversary of the Statue of Liberty had the program where he made the Statue of Liberty disappear. And people walk up there and look around where it was supposed to be. It's all illusion. It's all trickery. It's all magic. It didn't disappear, and yet it looked like it did. Well, if you take something like that and then attribute it to the supernatural, you say that's a supernatural event. Well, wait a minute. People do that in religion, and they blame God for it, or they credit God for it. And you see, there are things in the Word of God that you need to be aware of so that you know how to properly evaluate miraculous demonstrations. Because every time you see a miraculous demonstration or what you think to be a supernatural intervention, it does not necessarily mean that God is involved in it. And there is a very clear standard in the Word of God whereby you can evaluate what's going on. Come with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 13. I want you to see God's Word concerning miracles and especially miraculous signs that are counterfeits, that are not the genuine article. Deuteronomy chapter 13, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse number 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, that is, somebody that has visions, somebody comes to you and he says, he's a preacher and he says, I've had a dream. God spoke to me in a vision. And giveth thee a sign or a wonder. God spoke to me in a vision and told me to do this sign, this miracle. And the miracle, the sign, or the wonder comes to pass, verse 2 says. You see a miraculous sign produced by a preacher that says God gave it to him. Whereof he speaketh unto thee. Now watch carefully. Saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. In other words, he comes in with a sign. Says, I had a vision. God talked to me and told me to do this sign. I saw this vision from God, and I'm doing this miracle in God's name because God sent me. And he does the thing, and it looks to you like it's real. Measure it, check it, there it is. Now you got to understand something. In Deuteronomy 13, God was, the sign gift programs and the wonders were being operated in Israel's midst. God was doing that. They were in order. Here somebody comes along with one. But what does he do? He says, on the basis of this vision, here's the sign to prove I had the vision from God, and now we ought to go and disobey the Word of God. Now what are you supposed to do? You see the sign, you see the wonder, you see the thing, you experience it, it's there, and yet what you're told to do is to do something violates the Word of God. Watch what he says. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You know what he's saying? Go by the Word. Don't let somebody pull you away. Go by the Word of God. Go by what God says in that book, not by signs and wonders. It makes no difference if someone were to show you. You see, the problem we have is we get our experience involved in it, and as soon as your human experience becomes the basis of your faith, it quit being faith. It became superstition. It became tradition. It became human viewpoint. But for it to be faith, it has to be rested in God's Word. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Come with me to Matthew chapter 7. So even when the sign gifts and so forth were in order and being carried out and operated in Israel's midst, there were people that would come along with false ones, and the way you judged whether the sign was from God or not was whether or not you were encouraged to follow the Word of God. If it led you to disobey the Word of God, then God wasn't in it. That's the criteria. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 22. Matthew 7, 22. Jesus is talking. And he says, many shall say unto me in that day, judgment day right out here, and many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I say, profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are people that cast out devils, that prophesy in God's name, that cast out devils in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that do signs and wonders. They speak in tongues, they heal people, they do all the rest of the kind of things. And Jesus says their works are works of iniquity. They're not works that he did, they're works that were done on the basis of the satanic policy of evil to draw people away from the truth of God's Word. Matthew 24, verse number 14. And again, in this time period, we're talking about, he's looking forward into the tribulation period when Israel's program is going to be in operation, and the signs of the wonder program is there, and God will be outdoing them, but there's going to be the counterfeit out there too. And just because you see a miraculous demonstration doesn't mean God's in it. You have to check it by the book to find out whether God did it or not. Matthew 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false prophets and false teachers. I'm sorry, there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. False, counterfeit Christ, counterfeit prophets that show great signs and wonders designed to deceive God's people. That's strong. I know it is. Come over to Acts chapter 19. Let me show you a set of them. Acts chapter number 19. Well, you know, you begin to read the Bible, you find out the Bible's pretty tough. The Bible's not hard to understand, people. The Bible's hard to believe. That's the truth. The Bible's not that difficult to understand. You get the book and read it. It's written in language that's good, that's common and easy for you to get, and God gave you a way to study it. You can get it if you wanted to. The problem is the Bible's hard to believe because it crosses so much of what we think it ought to have taught. And see, the issue is not what we presume it teaches. The issue is what it really says. In Acts chapter 19, almost a funny thing that happens here. The Apostle Paul is out in doing the work of the ministry. And then verse number 13, Acts 19, 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took unto them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure thee by Jesus whom Paul preached. Now notice, these vagabonds, you know what, a vagabond is somebody that travels around without a dwelling place. Here's a bunch of traveling Jewish evangelists. And they're going out, and they call upon the evil spirits. They're going to cast out these evil spirits, and they say, we adjure thee by Jesus whom Paul preached, and so forth. And they're trying to cast them out. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. Now watch what happened. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You know, here these guys are traveling around town to town, set up their tent in the parking lot or in the football field or wherever, out behind the mall, and they're out there having they're casting out the demons, and they're going to take care of things, and they're a false prophet. They're not God's men. And these demons that they're trying to throw out, so, hey, we know who Jesus is, and we know who Paul are. They're God's men, but who in the world are you? And the men in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. I mean, brother, he just beat the britches off of them, literally speaking, and sent them running. And you know why? Well, they weren't God's men. They were false prophets. They were Satan's counterfeits and a satanic perversion of the truth of God. I mean, Satan's kingdom is divided against itself. It doesn't agree. The only thing that holds Satan's kingdom together, listen, sin never brings peace and tranquility. And no kingdom built on rebellion against God's ever going to have peace and tranquility. Satan's kingdom is divided against itself. And the only thing that holds it together is his attempt at wisdom and cunning craftiness, whereby he keeps people together. Come with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I don't want to run out of time before we get over some of all these verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's people over there in Acts 19, very similar to what goes on in our day. Was going on back then. No. Times don't change. Satanic policy of evil is the same. Deception. Draw people away from the truth. And you know what happened? You put your trust in that kind of a situation, you're going to wind up in the same spiritual condition those men wound up literally. You're going to lose everything you got. Your life's going to come apart, and you're going to be naked and wounded, laying out there, hurt, damaged spiritually. You know what I found? I found that I can preach on the television or on the radio or in the pulpit and Bible conferences around this country, and there are two things you can mention and get instant response from people's heart. One is unanswered prayer, and two is unhealed bodies. There are people watching me right now, and you're vexed and you're burdened because you don't understand why you can't get your prayers answered, and you don't understand why God doesn't heal you. If God really had your best interest at heart, if He really loved you, if He really valued you and esteemed you like you thought the Bible said He did, why didn't He get you out of the predicament you're in? Why didn't He heal you? I mean, He did it in the time past for other people. Where is the Lord God of Elijah today? Well, my friend, the problem with your situation has nothing to do with whether or not God loves you, nothing to do with whether or not God has your value and esteem at and your best interest on His heart. He does all of that. The problem you face today is you've bought a bill of goods, you've bought a message that doesn't belong to you. God Almighty never promised to heal your body. God Almighty never promised to answer all your prayers. God Almighty has done something far better for you than that. And you're not in the kingdom program back there. You're not in the prophetic program. You're not in Israel's program. And until you come clean with God and quit trying to claim promises that God never made to you, you're going to have a burden in your spiritual life that you can't overcome. If you want God to work in your life, then you get into the program. You let what God's doing, found in the Word of God, rightly divided, Romans to Philemon and the King James Bible, you let that be what works in you, and it'll transform your life. Paul says in here, he says that that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You know why you groan? You know why you hurt and groan and your body didn't heal? Because the time for the healing, folks, is over there in that kingdom, and the kingdom hadn't come yet. In order to extend the dispensation of grace another day, He has to postpone that. God's doing something so fantastic, marvelous today in the dispensation of grace. He extends it one more day, one more day, one more day. And if you have to suffer in your body because of that, He says here, reward you at the judgment seat of Christ, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. But if God and His glorious purpose and manifestation of His grace and the extension of His grace does that, that's His business. And He's provided for us that though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And in spite of all the claims to the contrary, the death rate is still one apiece. And what you and I need to do is understand what God is doing today and not be tricked and not be deceived and not be bamboozled into trying to follow a program that God doesn't have in order today, because what God does have in order today works marvelously. But you see, you have to get your mind off of walking by sight and learn to walk by faith in the doctrine of that book. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Verse number 8, speaking about the future coming of the Antichrist. Not Jesus Christ, but the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8, and then shall that wicked one, that wicked, the Antichrist, be revealed. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. They're not from God, they're lying, deceiving wonders. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Folks, the only safety you'll ever have is going to be in the Word of God rightly divided. If your heart isn't after God's truth, then deception's going to be the result. Somebody needs to tell you about that. Somebody needs to love you enough to warn you about it, but to tell you there is an answer, and the answer's in God's Word rightly divided. That's why Paul says, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. That program back there was set aside when God replaced it with the mystery program in here. And now abides faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. Those are those spiritual qualities of what God is accomplishing today in the dispensation of grace. That's what lasts. And that's where stability is. Stability today in your life now abides faith. Faith resting in what God and His Word has to say. In the Word of God rightly divided. Hope generated by the expectation that you get when you believe what God says. What is my hope? Listen, my hope is not that God's going to do the program back there and demonstrate His love to me because of what He does in my circumstances. My hope today is based in what Jesus Christ did for me. God's love for you today, His value of you, His esteem, His goodness, His grace towards you is tied only to one thing, and that's when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to pay for everything that's wrong with you. If you want God to intervene into life, come into human experience and demonstrate His love, He did it right there when Jesus Christ died to pay for everything that's wrong with you. And one day Jesus Christ is going to come and take us out of here, give us the healing program for the body of Christ is called the rapture. He's not going to heal you piecemeal, you know, eyes one day and and sacroiliac the next day, and your back problem the next day, and that, he's not going to do that. He's going to heal it all at once, just like that, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and we receive the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. You see, my friend, you and I have the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We've got the inspired, preserved Word of God available to us as English-speaking people in a reliable form in the King James Bible. What you need to do is get in the book and let God's Word work in you that believe and produce the hope of your calling, the hope of His calling in you. And then you'll understand what charity is. Then you'll understand how much He values and esteems you. You see, your Christian life is not operating on the basis of running, trying to find out what God did over there, what mighty thing He might do to prove Himself to you. Your Christian life is the logical outworking of what you learn in God's Word about what God has done for you in Christ. And as you find out what God's done for you in Christ and you have that live in you, that's how your Christian life works. God's life is inside of these mortal bodies. He says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. Colossians chapter 1, he says that we're to be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Those verses don't say anything about God coming delivering you out of all your problems. It doesn't say the fruit of the Spirit is deliverance. It says the fruit of the Spirit is being able to endure with long suffering. Patience and long suffering, not mighty signs and wonders and deliverance, with joyfulness. It's the divine capacity built into your inner man through the sound doctrine to go through the problems for God's glory. Well, we've got to go. Till next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Miraculous Demonstrations. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 189. That's tape offer number 189. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.